Hello, my name is Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Most of my videos will be about travel or understanding various locations, but in this special series, I'm focusing on a part of Quebec Canadian history that is near and dear to my heart, the story of the Filles du Roi, or the King's Daughters. In this series, I'll be focusing on the individual biographies so that we can get to know as many of these amazing women as we can. Please let me know in the comments below if there's one Filles du Roi in particular you are interested in, and I'll try to move her to the front of the line. And please don't forget to subscribe to the channel, click on the notifications alert, and like this video. All of that helps me out. Let's get started, shall we? Now, Les Filles du Roi was a program begun by Jean Talon in 1663, and I go into that in great detail in a video that I produced called Les Filles du Roi, the program 2.0. It is on the channel. Have a look at it. It's about 20 minutes, and it gives you kind of a breakdown of the program, how the girls were recruited, how they came across, what they were given, and where they're from. A lot of background detail that you might enjoy knowing about your particular ancestor. And now let us meet the next Filles du Roi that we'll be looking at. So today we're going to be looking at Marie Lefebvre, who is a step grandmother of mine. She married one of my great grandfathers, who we'll get to know in a little bit. But I thought it was interesting. And as you know, I plan on doing all 700 or so Filles du Roi. And I thought, well, let's connect up with Marie Lefebvre. In fact, you'll see that there are about four Marie Lefebvres that we will be doing. And I will try to distinguish them in naming them so that we can figure out who's who. So let's get started and get to know this Marie Lefebvre. So Marie was born in 1645 in the parish of Saint-Martin in the commune of Soissons in the region of Picard. Her father was Pierre Lefebvre and her mother was Michel Jouvet. I want to point out that Soissons being a commune, and I don't know if I've talked about this, but the French definition of commune isn't what we think of. It really means township. And this township is in the northern French department or region of Aisne, in the region of Île-de-France, located over the river Aisne. It's about 100 kilometers, about 60 miles northeast of Paris. It is one of the most ancient towns of France. It was in this town that we find a liberation that occurred during the Hundred Years' War by the French, led by herself, Joan of Arc, in 1429. Now, after her father's death, Marie left for New France, sailing on La Nouvelle France, and arriving in Quebec on July 31st, 1670. She brought with her a dowry worth about 200 pounds. Who did she choose? She chose a man named Louis Guilbeault, dit Grandbois. And he was born in 1637 in a small village called Denain in the region of Nesle-sur-Lautèze in the region of Poitou, Charente. His parents were Antoine Guilbeault and Marie Motet. As I researched this area, I found an amazing, information about it's amazing. It's just like this Pandora's box that you open up when you start studying France. And that the Abbey de Nueil-sur-Lautèze and what it's famous for and its association with Eleanor of Aquitaine. It was founded in 1068. The Abbey was under the protection of the Dukes of Aquitaine and became the Royal Abbey in 1141 by Eleanor of Aquitaine, Queen of France. So this is still intact and you can visit it. Guess what? It just made my bucket list. This is the place. I've got to see this place. And apparently it takes an hour or two. It's very, very intact. It's got the convent, the church, and the cloister all perfectly preserved. So we need to see that. And the picture on the upper right of your screen, or the middle right, I should say, is Le Château. So there's a castle associated with Nesle-sur-Lautèze. Now, Louis and Marie were married on the 13th of October, 1670, in Quebec City, at the Quebec City. Again, I point you out, it did not look like this when they got married. This is the current Basilica of Quebec City. But this is exactly the location where the church they were married was found. So where did they go? Well, they settled in Quebec City for a time. Let's review Quebec City. Quebec was originally named by the Algonquins, who named the area Quebec, K-E-B-E-C, which in their native language meant where the river narrows. Quebec City lies where the St. Lawrence River narrows. Samuel Champlain founded a French settlement here in 1608 and called it Ville de Québec, or Quebec City. The city walls which surround it still date back to this time period, making Quebec City the only city with remaining city walls in North America. There's so much to see in Quebec City, but I've chosen five buildings that were there when Marie and Louis would have lived there. And I like to imagine that I'm seeing what they saw. Let's start with Maison Jacquet. This house is the oldest surviving private residence in Quebec. It dates from 1675, and if you'd like to tour it, it is actually home to a famous restaurant, appropriately called Aux Anciens Canadiens, roughly translated to our old Canadians or to our historic Canadians. The Auberge Place d'Armes, which you can find on the in the middle top of your screen, is it actually dates from 1620. It was a commercial building. It was built for one of the pioneers of New France, Guillaume Couillard. A wonderful restaurant called Bistro 1640 is found on the first floor, and the hotel is on the upper two floors as well. Le Petit Champlain, which is the picture that you'll find on the in the middle left, middle center left, is claimed to be the oldest commercial district in North America. This is the cobblestone streets. This is how you really the picturesque, and when you imagine Quebec City. And to some extent, I will also want to give a shout out to Boston, because Boston, although younger than Quebec City, is kind of in that mold. Definitely in the 1600s, just that Quebec City was the oldest. The next thing we're going to look at is the breakneck staircase. This was attributed to 1620, Samuel de Champlain, who was the founder of Quebec City, as I've talked about, decided to build his home at the top of Cape Diema, which is where the top of the stairs is. He then drew a road, a Côte de la Montagne, which still follows the same route today. A path was then created to bypass this steep incline, and they built stairs, wooden stairs, and landings. And this structure was called the Champlain Stairs, or the Beggar's Stairs. I have not researched why it was called the Beggar's Stairs. I suspect it's because people would come up and ask for things to Samuel. It's possible. More research shall go into this. In 1893, the wooden staircase was replaced by a larger iron one with three banisters. The one in place today dates back to the late 1960s. It was at this time that it became known as the breakneck staircase, l'escalier casse-cou in French, which literally means break your neck. And it was coined by the British tour guides at the time, but no serious injuries have ever been reported on the stairs, despite the ominous name. The other, on the upper right section, the upper right picture, is the Ursuline Monastery of Quebec. And this dates to 1639, when it was founded by a missionary group of Ursuline nuns under the leadership of Mother Marie of the Incarnation. It's the oldest institution of learning for women in North America. Today, the monastery serves as the general mother house of the Ursuline Sisters of the Canadian Union. The community there also operates a historical museum. Guess what's going on my bucket list? And it continues to serve as a teaching center. So all of these buildings look to some degree like they would have in the time of Louis and Marie. So I just think that that's really neat. Let's have a look at how they created their family. Wow, they did indeed. They had eight children, seven of whom make it to adulthood. Now, we talk with Jean. Jean married Marie Louise de Silva, dite Portugais, and had four children, with all of whom reached adulthood. He subsequently married Marie Rochereau and had two more children, with one reaching adulthood. Edmund married Joseph Robin and had six children, at least four of whom made it to adulthood. Louis never married and died at the age of 29. François married Marie-Simone Maillot and had eight children, seven of whom made it to adulthood. Marianne married Maître Sionneau and had 11 children, eight of whom made it to adulthood. Antoine married Marie-Anne Maillot, yes, that's the sister of François' wife, Marie-Simone, and they did not have any children. Very, very unusual. Marie-Catherine dies at 1 month old. And last, we have Joseph, who marries Marie-Madeleine Charest, and they had 14 children, 11 of whom reached adulthood. Amazing. Now, by 1679, the family moves to Betscan, which is also occasionally known by the parish name Saint-François de Xavier de Betscan. And a little bit of history about this area. Betscan was actually named, again, by Samuel Champlain, that man gets around, as a nod to a Native American that crossed his path in the area. On March 13, 1639, the Seigneurie of Betscan was granted to the Jesuits to help with their mission of bringing Christianity to New France. By 1666, more than 30 concessions of land were granted to settlers. By 1684, the parish of Saint-François de Xavier was established. Now, I want to point out that this is the census of 1681, and we find Louis, 40 years old, Marie Lefebvre, sa femme, and children, Jean, Edmond, Louis, François, Marie, Antoine. It also states that he has one gun, three goats, and he has 20 arpents of Allah. So that's about 15 acres of land. Not a bad show, not a bad show at all. So what happens next? Well, by 1684, the family moves to La Parade. Now, of course, they had that 20 arpents, or 15 acres or so. So they were able to move around. They had some sort of mobility. A little bit of history of Sainte-Anne. Sainte-Anne-de-la-Parade is located near the mouth of the Sainte-Anne River, along Route 138, which is also known as Le Chemin du Roi, a historic road that travels from Quebec City to near Montreal. The story of Sainte-Anne-de-la-Parade begins in 1603 when our man, Samuel de Champlain, on one of his many voyages, names the river Sainte-Marie. It would be called this until the 1660s, when it was then changed to Île de Sainte-Anne. The first seigneur was a man named Michel Gamelet, who was awarded the land from Jean Talon himself, the intendant of New France. This was around 1667. So by November of 1668, he recruits a prominent tenant, our own Michel Roy de Châtellerault, and his wife, Françoise Aubet, featured in video number 8, to be the first true occupant of the land. We also featured La Parade in episode 30 of Marie Charpentier. Marie Gamelet would eventually sell his shares to two men who would share the seigneury for a time, and then eventually Pierre-Thomas Thériault de La Parade, the son of one of these two men, and hence Sainte-Anne became Sainte-Anne de La Parade. And so this is the evolution, if you will, of this area. Here's an interesting note. Pierre Thomas happened to be married to a Quebec heroine, Madeleine de Verchères, who at 14 years of age had defended her family and village from an Iroquois raid, and she became the seigneuress of this place and actually ended her days here. So just amazing to see that. And I wanted to show you some pictures of what it looks like and what it probably looked like without the road, of course, back in the day. Now, as we evolve, what happens? Marie's husband, Louis, passes away between 1708 and 1715. That doesn't seem to be a record that I've been able to find. Marie remarries Pierre Gendron, dit Gendron, And this is how she becomes my step-great-grandmother, as Pierre, you will remember, was married to Marie Chalfontaine, who we studied in video number 30. She and Pierre have 9 years together before he passes away as well. After Pierre passes away, we cannot be sure where Marie resides, but her death record gives us a clue. In it states that Marie has passed away at the home of her son, Antoine. We know that Antoine was married but did not have any children, so we can conjecture that this was the easiest place for her to reside in. What we do know is that she died well past 80 years of age, an accomplishment few could rival at that time. In the death record, it states that she is 88. However, I'm fairly confident this was actually 83. She outlived two husbands, uprooted herself at least four times, and gave birth to eight children. She's another wonderful woman of substance. And so ends another incredible Feijoa. I thank you for listening, and we will see you soon on video number, I guess, 33. Until then, au revoir.